In this case, this is not the kind of meltdown readers or listeners might imagine from Chernobyl, where the reactor literally was so hot it melted through not only the core floor of the basement itself and down into the ground. This is a smaller scale meltdown where the fuel rods themselves have not been sufficiently cooled down by water or normally by other cooling fluids. So in this case, it means the fuel gets so hot that the rods themselves melt, and if uncontrolled, it's possible that this could build into a larger meltdown. But right now, to our knowledge, this is only called a partial meltdown, not a complete or catastrophic meltdown. So it's really not perhaps as bad as it looks from the outside.
And so this is the importance of getting water into this plant.
Exactly. In fact, when the engineers in Japan began to use seawater to try and cool off the fueling rods, that was a sign, in a sense, of how desperate things had become for two different reasons. There are actually three different levels of backups at these reactors in Japan. That is, there are three different mechanisms that should come online when standard systems fail. And the fact that all three of them did not work, and having to use cooling water, shows how severe the tsunami was, which overwhelmed both the batteries and the diesel generators there, and also perhaps the unpreparedness that we have as a whole across the world for an 8.9 or 9.0 magnitude earthquake. That is, these plants were really not designed to withstand a powerful blast like that that happened. The second thing that we're seeing now also is by using cooling water from the ocean, the engineers are basically admitting these plants will never work normally again. By allowing seawater into these reactors, they're basically destroying the very delicate machinery and the fuel rods themselves and the overall cladding around them, so that these reactors, to my knowledge at least, won't come back online. You might imagine, for example, after this is all over in a few weeks when things have calmed down, they'll pump it out and start again. They actually can't do that. Once you introduce salt water into these reactors, that in a sense is the end game for them, and they'll have to be decommissioned. And so we now know of the six reactors nearby, at least two, possibly three or four of them, are being shut down by the very process used to save them. And that will be a very costly financially, costly in terms of time, and costly in terms of energy production, because, of course, Japan relies heavily. Almost one-third of all electricity in Japan comes from reactors. Shutting these down forever, which is what's going to happen, will create a very large gap between demand and supply, and liquid natural gas and oil and other alternatives, which are, of course, more carbon dioxide producing, will be necessary next.
How far does nuclear fallout, how far does it travel?
Well, we know from Chernobyl that if it's a tremendously large full meltdown, as we had there in Russia, it's possible to travel literally thousands of miles in the atmosphere. From Three Mile Island, though, which I think is a better comparison to what's going on now, the maximum distance we think it traveled was just a few miles, at least measurably, in terms of the effect on population. In fact, Three Mile Island never had provable health effects on local residents there, even though it was a tremendous problem here in America and perhaps shut down the American nuclear power system as a whole. We actually don't have a lot of proof that, for example, there are more cancers in the area or more leukemia in the area. It's very difficult, unfortunately, science to pin down the exact causes of disease, whether it's high-profile diseases like cancer, for example, or more subtle ones, leukemia, for example, and thyroid problems. Those are harder to pin down. So I think that in this case, the effects are probably contained mostly within a few-mile radius of the plants.
Are these reactors considered well-designed and modern?
Modern, no. Well-designed at the time, yes. Interestingly enough, when these were built, and these are actually pretty old reactors, many reactors around the world are this age. These are actually 40 years old, these ones that are having problems now. When they were designed, they were state-of-the-art, and Japan GE built them. Japan required GE to take into account seismic possibilities, like an earthquake, for example, and again, to build multiple backup systems in case there was a tremendous problem. So at the time, 40-odd years ago, when these were being planned, designed, and constructed, yes, these were the best that we could do in terms of engineering. The reality is that the basic technology itself hasn't changed that much. The average technology is sort of what one of my professors once told me. It's like a big way to boil water. And these reactors are doing the same thing, or they try to do the same thing. Even the newest generation of advanced boiling water reactors, ABWRs, are more or less the same technology, perhaps with a thicker containment shield, perhaps with more safeguards. But at the core of the reactor, they haven't changed much in four decades.